Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And I pray that God is keeping you, sustaining you, watching over your life. And we are in the book of Acts, and we have been meditating on this man, Saul, who now becomes Paul. You know, one of the things that you will see in scriptures, especially in the New Testament, we see there ideally two people who have a change of name, or who the scriptures chooses to show us a transition in their change of names or in their names. Now, one is Simon. He's called Simon bar Jonah, son of Jonah, but who Jesus says, Simon, this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven, and you are now Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Now, Simon was the original name. He was the son of Jonah. But you see, the day when Jesus asked them, who is the Christ? And Simon confessed that you are the Christ. Who do you say that I am? When Jesus asked him, who do you say that I am? And Simon said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus acknowledged to him that, Simon, this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. It is at that point when there is the revelation of the Christ, when the Christ ceases from being just theory to being a reality, when the Holy Spirit manifests himself to you in a way that is tangible, in a way that is real, in a way that you cannot explain to someone, but he becomes the direct expression of God in your life. He becomes the living expression of God in your life, the evidence, the proof that God is with you. He can manifest himself to you with his presence. It can be a burning in your heart. It can be the speaking in tongues. It can be the revelation and understanding of scriptures that you did not have before. It can be the working of miracles. It can't be the presence of fire in your bones, fire in your heart, fire in your hands. It can be a shaking that you cannot express. It can be a gasping. It can be a laughter. The Holy Spirit can choose any means to prove to you that he is real and to prove to you that you have the presence of God with you and in you. And when he does that, and when you start to walk in that awareness of the presence of God, then that is when you start to walk in the Spirit and you qualify to receive another name. You qualify to receive a name in the Spirit. You qualify to receive a character in the Spirit. You qualify to enter into the manifestation of the sons of God, because the Bible tells us that creation has been groaning in eager expectation for the manifestation of the sons of God. And so Simon, who becomes Peter, is one that has a change of name and is one that enters into his manifestation by revelation. And when he's told you are Peter, that means you are Petros. That means you are a small rock, and on this Petra, which is a large rock, I will build my church. Petra now refers to the revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Now, the other person in scripture that has a name change is Saul. Now, Saul, the Bible up to until Acts chapter 13, we have seen that the scripture has referred to Saul as Saul, but it is in Acts 13 that the Bible now calls him Paul. The Bible says Saul, who is now called, who is also called Paul. And we have seen that from the onset, Barnabas is ahead of Saul. Barnabas is ahead of Saul in that he was a man full of faith, ability to preach. He's the one who brings Saul to the apostles. When Saul comes, he is believed, but the Jews don't accept him. It is Barnabas who is that guiding man who opens the door and brings him. But you see the moment when they go to Seleucia and they encounter this sorcerer, this man with who was attached to the proconsul, the man who was corrupting the way of God, who wanted to prevent the proconsul from hearing the word, Sergius Paulus. And this man tries to hamper. It's called Elymas, the sorcerer. And the Bible tells us that Saul, and this is what we read in Acts 13, verse 9, the Bible says, then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, O, full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, and you will not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord. And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And the Bible says, and immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed, and when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Now, verse 13 is where now we can see now the Bible now starts to clearly call him Paul. And it starts to show that there is now a switch in leadership from Barnabas to Paul. So Barnabas is ahead of Saul, but Paul is ahead of Barnabas. Why? Because Barnabas yields himself because he sees that the anointing, he sees that Paul has been given a greater grace than him. He yields to the leadership of Paul because he sees that now Paul has entered into his calling and has entered into his manifestation. Because when the Spirit said, separate for me Barnabas and Saul to the work which I have called them, it is now when now Saul becomes Paul that now Paul becomes to lead. And Barnabas steps back and allows Paul to lead. Because spiritual leadership is about capacity. When we see the pattern of the early church, it is about the capacity. It's not, oh, it's elections. Oh, it is because this person is more popular. Oh, it is because this person has more votes. No, it is about the capacity that God has placed on the individual and by the evidence to all that they can surrender and submit and say, lead us. Why? Because we see what God has placed on you is what can take us to the next level in God. Because you cannot lead people who are ahead of you. As a leader, you can only take people to the place where you yourself has gone. And after you have gone there, then you can come back and bring them along that journey. You can bring them back to the place where you have gone. And that is why as a leader, if your members are praying more than you, it is a shame to you. If as a leader, your members are ahead of you, if you stay at that level, if you stay, you're not growing, if you're not praying, if you're not fasting, if you're not revealing Christ to them in a way that is ahead of them, then they will find someone else who will do it. And that's when you find people complain that, oh, I raised them up, but now they're not staying with me. The challenge is they are not being fed. Just like someone was used to taking milk, but at a point when they grow, they want meat. Now, if you're still giving milk to a 20-year-old instead of meat, that 20-year-old will not be effective. There's a point where the spiritual food that we're given needs to transition from milk to meat. And even the Bible calls it strong meat. That means it is tough. So, capacity determines leadership. Capacity determines how God uses us and how God grows us. Now, we have seen the growth of Saul. He immediately started preaching Christ. He goes to Tarsus. But later on, we will see that when it pleased the Father to reveal himself in Paul, that he went into Arabia. And there he went to spend time with God, and revelations came to him. And that is why later on he's able to be the effective apostle that he is. But I want to show us something. We are in Acts 13 and we are in his message in Antioch in Syria. Now remember, there are two Antiochs, and this is something that you have to note in scripture. There is the Antioch of Syria, where the early church had formed base after the Jews were scattered in Jerusalem. But then on Paul's missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas, they now go to Antioch of Syria, which is in modern-day Turkey. So the first Antioch is in Syria, but this other Antioch is in modern-day Turkey, which is Antioch on Syria. Now the Bible says, Acts 13 verse 13, now when Paul and his party, now you see Barnabas has stepped back, then now scripture starts to speak of Paul. Now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Now remember, John Mark here abandons Paul. And this is why when we studied about John Mark, we saw that he abandoned Paul. And this is something that did not please Paul. And because of that, there was later on a sharp disagreement, because in the second missionary journey, Barnabas wanted to bring John Mark, who was his cousin. But since he had abandoned Paul, Paul refused and said no. And there was a sharp disagreement, and Paul took Silas, and Barnabas took John Mark, and that is where they parted. Now, later on, Paul calls for Mark to come back. Why? Because he understood that men left him. It was just the beginning, and I think it's something that Paul grew over in time. Initially, he was angry with John Mark, but he says, everyone has left me, even Demas has left me, because he loved the world. Send for me John Mark, because he is helpful to me in the ministry. Paul understood later on in life that John Mark was still important, and he sent for him. Never write of people who even walk away in their faith in their early days. Never write off even men who mess up and end up in wrong marriages, or end up pregnating, or ladies who end up getting children out of wedlock. Never write them off, because you don't know what God will work in their lives when they have repented, when they have stood again. Remember Peter, Jesus said, I have prayed for you that after you have stood up again, that you will strengthen your brothers. Now John Mark left them. Verse 14. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch of Syria and went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue say to them, Men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation or any word of preaching, any word of encouragement for the people, say on. You see, it was the culture of the Jews that they would meet on the Sabbath and they will go for prayers, and after they had read the scriptures, then they will ask anyone, oh, is there anyone who has an encouragement for us, anyone who has a preaching? And then the Bible tells us, verse 16, then Paul stood up and motioning with his hand and said, men of Israel and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people Israel chose our fathers, and he and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an uplifted hand, he brought them out of it. Now for a time, about 40 years old, he put up with their ways in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed the seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotment. Now, after that, he gave them judges for about 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they asked for a king. So God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as a king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. For this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a savior, Jesus. Now let me just pause there. Paul is speaking to Jews and he's giving them their history. He's telling them that there is a journey that we came. Look here, we started first when God chose our fathers. That refers to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, Abraham was from the family of Mesopotamia, and they were moon worshippers. But God called him out of that moon worship and told him, come to a land that I will show you, and I will bless you, I will increase you. And then that is when Abraham became a Hebrew. That is when the language Hebrew became, because it came out of Abraham. Now, they stayed as strangers in Egypt. Remember, through Joseph, they went into Egypt, were stayed, they became slaves. But then, after that, they left Egypt. God took them through the wilderness for 40 years. They stayed in the wilderness. But then he eventually brought them to Canaan, where they defeated seven nations and they stayed in the land. But in the land where they stayed, a time came when Israel did whatever they wanted. He gave them judges who will help them, but then as they will sin, the Philistines will be upon them. Then they will cry out to God. God will give them judges. Then afterwards, they were like, no, we want a king for ourselves. They asked for a king, and then God gave them Saul, a man of Kish, the son of Kish, a man from the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And then he then gave them David, who David also ruled for 40 years. You know, it's interesting how God works in numbers. And, you know, thinking of 40 years is generations. So Saul had his time. Then David had his time. And the Bible says that David, God says, there was a testimony of him. I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. And I'll challenge you to study the anointing on Saul and the anointing on David and look at the distinctions in that. And maybe one day we'll look at that. You can see the differences in the anointings. And they had the same Holy Spirit, but how each of them walked with him made the difference. Saul despised the anointing, despised the obedience to God, and God rejected him. And the Spirit of God left him, and an evil spirit took over. But David, though he sinned, but he truly repented, and the Holy Spirit did not leave him, and that's why he cries out, cast not thy spirit from me, and take not thy Holy Spirit, cast me not away from your presence, O God, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. So David learned from his mistakes. He inquired of the Lord. He was faithful to the anointing of the Holy Spirit on his life. And that is why God calls him a man after my own heart. Yes, a man with weaknesses, but one who looked to God for strength and one who stayed faithful. So the anointing does not make you immune from sin. The anointing only empowers you to live a holy life. Gives you the empowerment, but you still have to make the choice. If you disown, if you don't follow the heart of God, then the coming of the Holy Spirit upon you will just be useless. I assure you, it is your choice on how the Holy Spirit, how you will walk with the Holy Spirit, and what benefit you will gain from Him, the advantage that He will give you. It will depend on your faithfulness to Him. God says, I found for myself a man after my own heart, David, the son of Jesse, a man who will do all my will. And the Bible says, from this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a savior, and he's speaking of Jesus. So when he's giving them the past, he's pointing to Christ. Remember, we said all our preaching, everything that we say must point to reveal Christ. So all he's speaking about the Old Testament, it is having a pointing finger to Christ. And he says, from this man's seed. And why is it this man's seed? Remember, it's David who said, I want to build God a house. I see God's house is in a temple. The ark of the Lord is in a tent. And he says, I will build a temple. And God says, I never asked anyone to build me a house. All these years I've dwelt in tents. But because you have asked to do this, I will build for you an eternal temple. And I will raise for you a son or a seed from you, which I will establish his throne forever. And you shall never fail to have one of your descendants on the throne. And this man becomes Jesus. The Bible says, verse 24, and after John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his course, he said, who do you think I am? I am not he. But behold, there comes one after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to loose. Verse 26, he says, men and brethren, the sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent. For those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath and have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. Now, when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. Verse 30, but God raised him from the dead. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. Verse 32, and we declare to you glad tidings, good news, that promise which was made to the fathers, God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he raised up Jesus, as it is written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. And that he raised him up from the dead and no more to return to corruption, he has spoken thus, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Verse 35, therefore he also says in another psalm, you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation, by the will of God, fell asleep and was buried with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins, and by him everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets comes upon you. Behold, you despise us. Marvel and perish, for I work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you. Verse 42. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Verse 44. On the next day, next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region, but the Jews stood up, the devout and prominent women, and the chief men of the city raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. But they shook off their dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. It's been a long reading, but I just wanted you to see the progression. The progression is the entire Old Testament. David, Moses, the judges, the kings, all that points to John the Baptist, then it comes to the Christ. And this Jesus did not die. The message of the resurrection, he did not see corruption. God raised him up from the dead. And this, by this Jesus, do we preach the forgiveness of sins, the salvation for your souls. And though, you know, the Pharisees did not accept him, they killed him, but God raised him and he appeared to us. He appeared. And now if you believe in him, you shall be saved. And the Gentiles believed. It was counted worthy of them to hear the gospel. The Jews also, some of the devout Jews believed. But you see, the next Sabbath, opposition was brought because of envy and jealousy. And they opposed Paul. And Paul said, look here, it was good that we preached to you first. But since you have rejected it, we will now turn to the Gentiles. I tell you, God's word will always come. God will always send men to preach to us. But if you reject the word of the Lord, God will turn to those who will hear him. There's a season that God brings the word, knocks the word on our hearts. But when we resist him, then he turns to those who are ready to hear him. And I love how the Bible says, to those who are appointed to eternal life. I pray that you will be appointed. I pray that your heart will be open to the gospel, to know that it is only by faith in Christ by which you become born again, by which you become a child of God, and by which you will experience eternal life. May God bless his word. Father, I thank you for your word that has come forth in simplicity and in power, and that you point us to Christ. The Lord, may we hear, may we believe, may we know that in your divine plan that you have set for us a Savior, one that if we put our faith in, we can receive, we can experience the presence of God in our life through the Holy Spirit, and we can serve God in our generation just as David did, a man after your own heart, receiving the sure mercies of David. May we not see corruption. May we experience eternal and everlasting life. Your word in our lives, your word in our hearts, your word in our mouth. May we speak forth truth to those who are ready to hear, to the praise and honor of your holy name. This day is blessed and ordained of you. Go ahead of us, keep us, sustain us, and watch over us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead.